We begin our 2 Corinthians. Today, we're going to start reading from Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 18, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is the reading of God's Word. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both man and woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The man who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word, that you will bless all of us who are hearing your word. Grant an ear to hear your voice through your word, so that we may hear about your Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Oh Father, we thank you for your word. Clearly teaches us Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. In your word, let us meet your Son and have wonderful fellowship with him as we hear your word. Let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We begin our study of 2 Corinthians today, a letter that the Apostle Paul sent to the church in Corinth. But before we begin, let us look at the event that we read in Acts chapter 9. Now, understanding what happened in Acts chapter 9 is very, very important for us to understand Paul and what he is writing about. So pay attention today, because it is very important that you understand today's message. Saul, who is later called Paul, Acts chapter 13:9 says, but Saul, who was also known as Paul, this Saul that we meet in Acts chapter 9 is the Apostle Paul who is writing this letter to the church in Corinth. Saul means desired or great. Paul means small or little. In Acts 9, Saul meets the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul was on his way to Damascus to capture and bind Christians to bring them to Jerusalem. He was a persecutor of the church. With zeal, he persecuted the church. And the question arises naturally is this. Why did Saul, this Paul, hated Jesus and Christians so much? According to Philippians chapter 3, verse 5b, Paul was a Pharisee. And we do not have time to study the Pharisees in detail, but let us learn briefly about them in terms of what we are looking at today. Just like many other Jews, Pharisees eagerly waited for the Messiah. But the Messiah that they were waiting for was an earthly Messiah. They did not understand the Bible correctly, and they were waiting for an earthly Messiah. An earthly Messiah, Messiah who would come and free the Jews from the Roman Emperor and establish an earthly kingdom of God. For them, the Messiah will bring back the glory of the kingdom of the King David and the King Solomon in this earthly kingdom that the Messiah will establish. And in that kingdom, the Jews will rule the world. But Jesus Christ, who claimed to be the Messiah, he comes and dies on the cross. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23 says, his corpse shall not hang all night on the street, but you shall surely bury him on the same day. For he who is hanged is accursed of God, so that you do not defile your land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. According to this verse, Jesus is cursed by God. He dies on the cross. And to Paul, Pharisee Saul, the Messiah will never be cursed by God. It's unthinkable to him. Thus, to Paul, Jesus is an imposter. And this is what you need to understand, that for Paul, Jesus never can be the Messiah. Acts chapter 23, verse 8, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor an angel, nor a spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. Thus, Paul, as a Pharisee, believed in resurrection at the end of the age. Paul believed that at the end of time, the Messiah will judge the world and establish an earthly kingdom of God, and at that time, the resurrection of the dead will also occur. This Paul is, in Acts chapter 9, meeting Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 9, verse 3 says, and it came about as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. A light from heaven. In the creation event, we also see the light shines through the darkness. God says, let there be light, and there was light. The Bible oftentimes describes the sinful world as the darkness, a sinner as a blind. Even though the sinners have the physical eyes, but they are spiritually blind. And God, even from the Old Testament, promises the light to this dark world. God promises the Messiah who is the light. Isaiah 49 is speaking of the Messiah, and verses 5 and 6 says, and now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him in order that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord and my God is my strength. He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. God promises the light. God promises the Messiah. And in John chapter 1, we see the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, and he comes as the light. This same Messiah is coming to Saul. In Acts chapter 9, we see the spiritual reality of Saul, the darkness. He sees with his physical eyes, but he is spiritually blind. And what we see in chapter 9 of Acts, Jesus Christ, who is the true light, shines on Paul, shines on Saul. Acts chapter 22 speaks the same event, and that there it says that this happened at the noon. Chapter 22, verse 6, and it came about that I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. At noontime, when the sun was brightest, the true light shines on Saul. Saul is in darkness. The true light is now shining on Saul. The Creator comes to Saul and recreates him as a new creation. The old self is now dead and he is recreated to a new self. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And Acts chapter 9, verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. He is like a dead man. Just like Jesus was buried for 3 days, here Paul is without sight and food for 3 days. In chapter 9 of Acts, Paul is being born again. As he sees the true light, he finally realizes how filthy he is. The death meets the life and dies. God seizes him. The forgiveness seizes him. Grace seizes him. The resurrection seizes him. The eternal life seizes him. Heaven seizes him. The mercy of God and love of God seize him. The righteousness of God seizes him. All that God has created in Genesis chapter 1, God saw them and they were good to him. And that is happening to Saul. Now, Paul. Even as he was without sight for 3 days, his spiritual eyes are now seeing the truth. He now sees Jesus Christ, the true Messiah and God. The same Jesus that he was persecuting, he now sees him as his own Lord and Savior and God. And we see a wonderful thing here. Jesus says to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Well, Paul never met Jesus personally, you know, physical to physical. But here, Jesus says to Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" You see, to persecute the Christians is to persecute their Lord Jesus Christ. To persecute you is to persecute our Lord himself. Amazing grace. Saul says to Jesus, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" Paul already sees Jesus as the Lord. He calls him the Lord. Now, what we must understand in this story is, what is the significance of meeting the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? Obviously, Paul is changing here. He's being born again. So, whoever Paul was, Saul, is no longer. And the way that he was thinking, way that he was seeing things, way that he was knowing things, now all changes. And we must understand what is really happening here so that we understand what has happened to us. We too are born again. We need to understand what really happened to us. Now, what is the significance of meeting the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? There are too numerous to look at them all today, but let us see a few. Well, three, actually. And these three will help us to understand Paul. Thus, we understand true Christianity. First, Jesus is resurrected from the dead means that he is righteous. And all that he has done for his people, God the Father has with joy acknowledged and accepted. That's the first thing we understand. So Jesus that Paul was persecuting, now Paul realizes he's righteous. Otherwise, he would never be resurrected from the dead. See, Paul cannot deny the resurrection. He sees it. He sees Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. And from that, he needs to rethink about all those things that he thinks and he knows and he understands. And first thing that changes is that Jesus is righteous. Until then, Jesus was an imposter. He was the great sinner, imposing as the Messiah. The second, Paul used to believe that he was righteous through the law. But as he sees the true light, he sees that he is not righteous, but is a filthy sinner. The same response of the people who meet God, you will see them all over the Bible. Every time God's children meet their Lord, this is the response. They realize how filthy sinner they are. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5, when Isaiah meets the Lord, then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'm dead, because I'm a sinner. In Luke chapter 5, when Peter sees Jesus coming to him, this is what he says in verse 8. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Same thing happens to Paul. Paul now understands that the law will not be able to save him. This is what he understands from seeing the resurrected Lord. Before, he thought that he was a righteous person. When it comes to observing the law, he thought he was perfect. He thought he was going to heaven because of his good works. Now everything changes. This is what happens when you meet the resurrected Lord. But the most significant thing that Paul now understands as he sees the resurrected Lord, Jesus Christ, is this. And this is what I want every one of you to focus. You must understand this point. Otherwise, you will have a hard time understanding Paul. Now, Paul was a Pharisee, so he believed that the resurrection happens at the end of the time. And at the time of the coming of the kingdom of God, this was his faith. He believed, you know, many things he believed was not correct, but this one, at least, he believed, well, partially correct, I guess, but even that, when you say partially correct, it's still not correct. But he believed that the Messiah will come, and that is at the end. And when he does come, kingdom of God will come also, and the resurrection from the dead will happen also. This was his faith as a Pharisee. But now Paul sees the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the resurrection, which means that the end has come. How else can he explain this? He sees resurrection. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He knew Jesus died, but not as the Messiah, but he just died as an imposter. But he's dead. But now Paul sees him alive. And he cannot deny that it is Jesus. He knows that it is Jesus. And he cannot deny that he's just seeing, you know, dream or whatever that was not clear, but he clearly sees the resurrected Lord. Now, he has to conclude then, if he accepts the resurrection has happened, then he has to accept that the end has come. But when he sees the world around him with his physical eyes, the world still remains. The kingdom of God is not seen. And Jews are still under the rule of the Roman Empire. Now, this confuses Paul. Wait a minute. The end has come. There is resurrection already. But when I look at the world, world still goes on, and I don't see kingdom of God. Do you understand what goes on in Paul's mind right at this time? Now then, how must Paul understand all of this? What's going on? And this is when God reveals to him the truth. And after he sees the truth, this is the conclusion. Aha! The kingdom of God is not of this world. Yes, the resurrection happened. Yes, the end has come. Yes, the kingdom of God has come. But the kingdom of God is not of this world. The end is coming at two stages. Spiritually, it has already come, but visibly, not yet. The resurrection has surely happened. Thus, the end is here. The kingdom of God is here. All the promises of God is now fulfilled, but nothing is visible to the world. This is what Paul understands. And this is what you must understand. John chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servant would be fighting, that I might not be delivered up to the Jews, but as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Luke chapter 17, verse 20, "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed.'" Paul now gets it. Paul sees the reality of the kingdom of God. And for Paul, he cannot see and he cannot know and he cannot understand and he cannot speak apart from that reality. The reality of the kingdom of God already established. Now then, Paul writes everything in terms of that reality in 2 Corinthians and all of his other letters. Everything that he writes is now in terms of what has happened. In terms of the reality that Christ has accomplished. This is why we read Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 and 17, therefore from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. This is very, very important. Understand what Paul is understanding as he sees the resurrected Lord. He cannot deny that the end has come. He cannot deny that Jesus is resurrected and sits on the right hand of God as the King of the kingdom of heaven. He is already inaugurated as the king, and he rules his kingdom. Thus, the kingdom of God has been established. And everything that he writes, he says, now is in terms of that reality. Paul is no longer able to see himself and all others in Christ according to this world. He just cannot do it anymore. Because to do so is to deny what Christ has accomplished. To live according to the world is to deny the other world that Christ has accomplished. To live in sin is to deny the salvation that Jesus has brought, that Jesus has accomplished. For Paul, he cannot live according to the world anymore. He saw the resurrected Lord. Paul sees and understands all according to the reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for his people. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 7, he says this, according to the world, he says, although I myself might have confidence, even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day, of nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. In today's language, you know, I can boast so much of myself. I graduated from Harvard and I got into this company. I make so much money. I have a great job. On and on and on. I'm from, you know, great family. But that was before. That was before he met the Lord Jesus Christ, who is resurrected from the dead. Now he cannot live according to the world anymore because he cannot deny Jesus Christ anymore. The world has been dead to me and I to the world. Paul says, Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And this is what you must understand. Chapter 4, verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, God of Genesis 1, God who said, let there be light. That God, same God, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Do you understand, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? The same thing that has happened to Paul at the road to Damascus has also happened to you. The light shone in your hearts. The light from heaven has been shown in your hearts. The same Jesus shone His light in your hearts. You are Christians because you believe this. You are also born again, which means you have met the Lord Jesus Christ who is resurrected from the dead. Actually, seeing with physical eyes is inferior to seeing with the spiritual eyes that God has given to you. You believe. Do you understand, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? This event that you see in Acts 9 has happened to you. I don't know when, but some time ago in your life, light from heaven was shining on you. And your old self has died. And God has recreated you as a new creation. You saw, you met the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for you, everything has been changed. And if you don't understand this, then I don't know what makes you a Christian. If you don't believe this, I seriously question, what gives you confidence that you are a Christian? You believe that Jesus came to you and recreated you as a new creation. You believe that He has shown His light in your hearts. Now you see. Once you are blind, but now you see. And what do you see? If it's not the resurrected Lord and His kingdom, our eternal home, heaven. Because only thing that you see is this world. Even non-Christian sees that. We too met our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He has shown His light in us. Then how are we to understand all things? How are we to know and see all things? All according to the reality of what Jesus has accomplished. Do you remember Paul says, I will never recognize anyone according to the world anymore. Because if anyone is in Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. If I recognize you according to this world, then we are a bunch of sorry losers in this world. I really mean it too. You are nobody in this world. Oh yeah, you young people, you'll try to be somebody, but keep trying and see if you become one. Because God has saved you out of this world. We are losers of this world. And you know, you older people, this come to heart much closer, right? You know you're a loser. I am. I'm 50 years old and look at my ministry. Ooh, how successful it is according to the world. I will always be the loser in this world. But Paul says, I will not recognize anyone according to this world any longer. So if I see you according to heaven, everything changes. You're not the losers. You are the victorious sons of God. You have the kingdom of God and God himself as your eternal inheritance. You know how rich you are. You are citizens of heavenly kingdom. Seated at the throne of God with Christ. This is what Paul is writing about. Everything that Paul is writing about is in terms of this reality. Everything changes for Paul. And everything has been changed for you. You have met the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 9, verse 16, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, Jesus Christ has turned the world upside down. For Paul, suffering was curse of God before he met the resurrected Lord. But now suffering is his life. But he does not recognize anyone or anything according to this world anymore. He sees the truth. He sees the eternal reality. You see the same thing. Not with your physical eyes. Paul had physical eyes, but with that physical eyes, he could not see the truth. But now he sees. It's not because he sees with his physical eyes, well, now I get it. No, that is not the point here. Point is that even with those physical eyes, he still could not see it. That's the point. You know, for you and for me, the world has been upside down. It turned upside down. The world and what we understand and know are the opposite. Complete opposite. Whatever that world taught you, whatever the world has taught you so that you may believe these false things. You must see the truth, just like Paul. Everything has been changed. And you must see it. That's why you gotta come to the Bible. Because if you don't come to the Bible, all you see is this world. All you see is a lie. Oh, brothers and sisters, I beg you, come to the Bible and see the truth. Look at what Paul says. I will read you a few verses and we'll end with that. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10. Therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How the world sees and how now Paul sees. Complete opposite. He will never again recognize anything according to this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. In the world, we look like we're struck down, but we are not destroyed. In the worldly eyes, they see that we are afflicted every way, but we are not crushed. Persecuted, but we are not forsaken. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 through 10. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, regarded as unknown yet well known, regarded as dying, yet behold, we live. Regarded as punished, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Do you understand what Paul is understanding? Yes, world will say, you don't have anything, and yet we have all things. Why? Because our Lord Jesus Christ, the true Messiah, has been resurrected from the dead. The kingdom of God has come. Thus, the things that we focus are the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, open your spiritual eyes and see the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And you will see the truth. You will understand. And you will know.
cannot go back to the world because we do not belong there. And thank God that we do not belong there. Don't be deceived. The world will deceive you. And the world will tell you that, hey, it's good life here in this world. But that's not going to last. The end is eternal destruction. The end is eternal judgment. Don't go there. Don't even touch it. Be separate. And as we go into 2 Corinthians, always remember what Paul has seen. Because if you do not understand Paul in that light, you will interpret Paul's letter according to the world. And that would mean disaster. Brothers and sisters in Christ, wake up. Wake up from the darkness. For God has already shown His light on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh, how wonderful it is to see our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ through our spiritual eyes, through Your Word. Oh, Father, let us truly understand what that means. If Jesus is resurrected, if He is set as the King of the Kingdom of God, if heaven has begun, what does all that mean? What must we understand and know and believe? Oh God, bless Your people. Bless us. Let us know. Let us know. Resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Your people, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.